Blog Talk Radio.
Strength to be a community that follows the path of life which brings praise and honor to you. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, let's start playing some music.
I got treasure. Lift my heart and To put your
Okay. Well, let's get into the message. All right. Amen. Okay. It's the title of tonight's God Speaks in Solitude. You and I have been given the invaluable gift of communication with God. Last week, we learned about the process of making the soil of our hearts soft and receptive to God. This week, we'll learn some different ways to receive the seed of His Word. So may your communion with God flourish as you engage in continued conversation with your loving, present Heavenly Father. Solitude is a time set apart where the rush and noise and anxiety of the world fall mute on the ears and heart of a child of God, completely lost in peace and presence of the Creator. Solitude is the time to be with your Heavenly Father, free from the distractions the world offers us seemingly every moment. We are made for consistent time spent in solitude. C.S. Lewis wrote, in The Weight of Glory, we live, in fact, in a world starved for solitude, silence, and private, and therefore starved for meditation and true friendship. Most of us have grown accustomed to what truly does amount to being starved for solitude. We never fully realize how great our need is to be alone with our sustainer. Let's take some time today to recognize our need for solitude and then learn how to best practice solitude on a daily basis. You know, you can know that you need solitude for one reason. Jesus needed it. All over the New Testament, we see examples of Jesus going off on his way to pray. One example in Mark chapter 1, verse 35 tells us that Jesus, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus, who practiced perfect communion with his Heavenly Father, while here on earth, still needed to spend time in solitude. Jesus, who loved parties, loved people, and was God and man simultaneously, needed time alone. If he needed it, you and I can be sure we need it. When God incarnate was up against his hardest task, the crucifixion, he didn't just toughen up and get through it, okay? He spent time alone in the Garden of Gethsemane in the conversation with his Heavenly Father. He needed solitude to accomplish his purpose here on earth, and so do you and I. Solitude is life-giving. It's necessary to the Christian spiritual life. Richard J. Foster said, loneliness is inner emptiness. Solitude is inner fulfillment. So solitude is one of the most important and life-giving spiritual disciplines. If you want to hear God, you must practice solitude. If you want fortitude in your life, steadfastness that surpasses your circumstances, you must practice solitude. You are designed for time spent in quiet, simply being with your Heavenly Father. So how can you best practice solitude? The first step is finding a place where you can spend time with God free from distractions. Find a place where you know you won't be interrupted. If you live with others, find time when they will not be around or awake. If you live alone, designate a place and time that you will spend in solitude free from any distractions. Second, give yourself an amount of time to spend with God just being in solitude. It could be 10 minutes or an hour. Spend this time free from reading, free from worship or prayer, and let solitude lead you to those things. Madeline L. Engle said, deepest communion with God is beyond words, on the other side of silence. Solitude is a point of deep communion where words aren't required in light of God's glorious nearness. So take some time today to practice an incredible discipline of solitude. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with God. Fill the emptiness of silence with the satisfaction of God's presence. Your Heavenly Father loves just simply spending time with you, enjoying deep communion with this crown of creation. You are His child. Climb into the comforting and sustaining arms of your Heavenly Father today as you enter into a time of solitude. So, find a place free from distractions. Ask the Spirit to calm your heart and mind. and help you spend time in deep communion with God. Spend a few minutes simply resting with God in solitude. Write down how solitude made you feel. If you felt uncomfortable or frustrated, that's all right. Solitude and silence is something most of us never practice. Have patience with yourself. Solitude is a practice. The more you do it, the better and more fulfilling it will become. Once you connect with God's heart free of words and just look at Him face to face, His gaze will become one of the most important parts of your life. Knowing experientially a gaze that your Heavenly Father sees you and loves you is meant to be a foundation of everything you do. So commit yourself to spend time in solitude with God and learn what it is to be a child simply enjoyed by the Father. I highly suggest that you read Psalms chapter 46. It'll bring this devotional more into light. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let us get into the question, okay? And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because you will get a chance to in just a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling up and down this road, this long, dusty road, not knowing where to go, which way is up or down? Or maybe you're lacking purpose in life, and you need some. Or maybe you're suffering from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you're suffering from something much worse, such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs. Okay, sexual immorality, overeating, gambling. Whatever the issue may be, see, the Lord can take it away, but in order for Him to do so, He's got to know you. So, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus tonight? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may He always keep you highly favored. Amen. All right. Well, let's play some more music here. Walking around.
10:12, Proverbs 1:10-16 is what I will be covering this evening. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You will make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it a cubit above from above, and set the door of the ark on its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which the breath of life, everything that is on earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of the living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be for you and all of them." Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two they went into the ark, to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons were with them, entered the ark, and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which there was breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days, and the waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all of the earth hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was once on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So maybe that's where we're at now. Maybe that's what God is doing with what's going on in the world. Maybe the end of days are near, and maybe we will actually see them. So we're going to give you a word of worship. Oh, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed. You judge of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled, but a little blessed are those who put their trust in him. Psalms 2, 10 and 12. Now, hold on just one moment. I seem to have gotten lost here. Give me just one second. I know I had a word of wisdom for you someplace. Well, you know what? I don't have the word of wisdom for you, but I will give you a word of wisdom, and it's I believe Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Amen. So I'm going to leave you there tonight. Thank you for letting me into your lives for 15 minutes to read to you the Bible, the way it was written, the way it was meant to be shared. And from what it looks like, I may be with you for a while. So let's see how far we go. Amen. May you be safe. May you be blessed.
Amen. Thank you very much, Johnny.
Well, you're very welcome, Ken.
All righty. All righty. Yes. Well, I hope you all enjoyed the Bible reading tonight by Tony F. Okay, all right. Let's get into playing some more music here. All right.
I'm calling my home. Cause even in the dead of night, when everything else gets quiet, I feel your hand holding mine. In the shadows, in the valleys of my soul, even there I lie your side. It's you, just keep on loving.
And you just keep on loving. struggling, we tend to judge too harshly and refuse to try and catch them when they're falling. We put people into boxes and we draw our hard conclusions, and when they do the things we know they should not do, we sometimes write them off as hopeless and we throw them to the dogs. Our compassion and forgiveness sometimes seem in short supply, so I say, don't shoot the wounded. They need us more than ever. They need our love, no matter what it is they've done. Sometimes we just condemn them and don't take time to hear their story. Don't shoot the wounded. Someday you might be one. We can love them and forgive them. They commit offenses outside the boundaries we have set. We judge them in a word, we turn them out, we close the door. Myself, I've been forgiven for so many awful things. I've been cleansed and washed and bathed so many times that when I see a brother who has fallen from the way, I just can't find the license to convict him of his crime. So I say, don't shoot the wound. They need us more than ever. They need our love.
Today, I'm not wounding you. I am pruning you. Yield to the pruning, says God. What have you seen as unnecessary and to be avoided as part of my needful process of bringing you to the very place you've cried out to be? The habits of the past, the unfruitful attitudes are being cut away as I prepare you for a seed fruit harvest season. Would you like to know what it is for the plowman to overtake the reaper? Would you like to experience everything that you say and do becoming as effective as I said it or did it? Would you like to see the seeds of your obedience produce a harvest before they hit the ground? That experience is available. And in fact, in the book of your days written in the heaven before the foundation of the earth, this is that time for you. Your life was never meant to be a gauntlet of endless suffering, and terminal waiting for a breakthrough that never comes. That is not your portion. So prepare your heart for a level of cooperation necessary to get you from where you are now to that place of riches and abundance. Your assignment currently is to see yourself not through the lens of your estimation of your shortcomings any longer. Look again, says the Father. Look again. see yourself through the lens and through the filter of my potential on the inside of you. If you allow your plans and hopes to be tempered by your understanding of your limited capacities, you will sell yourself far short of what I am actually willing to bring about. I have not chosen you to accomplish the plausible. I have chosen you to achieve the impossible. Get ready, says God. Accept the pruning, says God. Though it may seem like I have cut you to the quick, know this, that a great harvest is ahead, a blessing and a purpose and a greater works anointing. Keep your eye on that harvest and not the chaff that is being burned away. The fires of my refinement are perfecting my character in you in anticipation of that good thing that is breaking in your life right now. Embrace it, accept it, and know that at the end of the process you will have tasted of the powers of the world to come and seen my promise to come to pass full measure in your life. The Father says today, trust me to move the mountain in your life. My eye searches throughout the earth to show my arm mighty in your behalf. I am the burly one. I am flexing the sinews of my right arm to break every chain holding you captive. I am bursting the bonds and break the bands that constructed you and restricted you. The enemy is disallowed to bring you to ruin, says the Father. Know this, I am the God who can do anything. I want any time I want. I don't have to check with anyone. What others have suggested to you that I will not do is exactly what is about to happen. I am superintending the affairs of your life today, so cast your care upon me and trust in the outcome that I am bringing about. My plan for you is not a downturn or denial. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, that word goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Okay. Well, we're going to close out with a prayer. Okay. Lord our God, our Father in heaven and on earth, we are thankful that you have people to whom you say you are mine. Lord, grant that we too may belong to this people, Lord. Strengthen us in faith that we belong to you, Lord, so that we can come to you to know your rule and your justice, Lord. Protect us in all paths we follow during our time on earth, Lord. The times are evil. But come what may, every single one of us has a heart, the certainty, okay, we are yours, Lord. You have long watched over us and kept us safe, Lord. Again and again we affirm, we are yours, Lord our God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed tonight's program, okay, and everything entitled to it, okay. I want to thank the people that have called in to listen to the show. Okay, Doug is one of them. Okay, he's a faithful listener. Thank you, Doug, for being so faithful. Okay, may God bless you, and may God keep you all safe. Until we meet again tomorrow night for another episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. Amen. All right. I'm sorry I'm not taking any callers. Okay, I have not been taking any callers for the last couple of days. I've been wanting to get the word out and get people to know the Lord. Okay. That's what I've been doing. Okay, so, and I'm going to do that for a while now. I'm not going to be opening up the chat room. Okay, because every time I do, okay, nothing but ridicule, okay, and people posting personal information in there, okay, so I'm not going to open the chat room anymore, okay? Okay, people has done the chat room wrong, okay, so it's going to stay closed, okay? So with that being said, God bless you all. Okay, Clay. Okay, I know you're listening. God bless you, Clay. 111 caller. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Okay. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Bye bye. Bye bye, all.